Well, today is a special day for many people, being that it's Veterans Day. We always appreciate and like to express our gratitude to people who have served in our military. It's one of the reasons why we enjoy the freedoms that we do. And there are many who have served in various capacities. There are those who've suffered hardships, who've suffered losses. And it's something that we ought to be very thankful for. I was a little bit disturbed today when I went to thedailytimes.com and just opened up the main homepage there. There's an article about a veteran, and there was a picture of the veteran, and he had a like a t-shirt with a statement, a saying across the front of it, and it said, "Transgender veteran, I fought for your right to hate me." And he doesn't look like a he in the picture. And it just looks like a woman. So he fought for the country, and he was born as a male, but changed his name to Carla Lewis, lives with another woman who apparently is also transgender. They have been together for 12 years, married for 2 years. And so the story is all about her posting a self portrait of herself on Facebook and all the response that she's gotten, which he has said that it was very positive, encouraging. And he's tried to give responses to all the various input that has been received. He says, one person said, "I was going to give up, but you got me to stay on one more day." Another person said, "I'm proud to know you're from Tennessee. Please," they said, "keep fighting the good fight." So here you have an expression that is applied to something that clearly is not a good fight. Another person said, "My child is trans, and you're a real inspiration to my child." And so Carla Lewis has said, "It's all really moving." He goes on to say, "The one thing that a lot of Americans don't know is the oath of enlistment," Lewis said. So he declares it, "I, Carla Lewis, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me, according to the regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So help me God." It's really just a sad picture of where we are in our country today and the mindset of so many people, that standing for and advocating something that is against what God teaches, that is considered sinful, is fighting the good fight. And that when people are vocal about this, so many of the people are trying to encourage that person in what they're doing that is wrong. And their mindset is so far from God that they don't even recognize it. And so you have people using an expression from God's word who have no idea what God has said, or don't understand it, or have just completely rejected it, what God has said on the matter. Of course, the t-shirt statement, "I have fought for your right to hate me," or "defended your right to hate me," assumes that most people who look at a person like that are going to hate such a person. Of course, as a true Christian, we know that our mindset is to be grieved over someone who is in sin, no matter what their sin is. God certainly punishes those who live in sin, but that's the thing. People are all given the opportunity to turn away from sin, to see that here is what our Maker has said in regard to this particular thing. Here is what He declares it to be, right or wrong. It's either good or evil, as declared by our Maker. And then he further tells us that we are free to choose whatever we want to choose, but here are the consequences that will most certainly come. And he's also said that he doesn't want anybody to perish. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. So he has expressed his love and desire for all people to be saved, made the means by which that can be possible by offering as a sacrifice his Son who died on the cross, and then has commissioned all people who have become a part of this family to go out and teach other people and give hope to the world by telling people, here's what God says, by loving people enough to tell them the truth that God has revealed in His Word. So true Christians don't see someone in such a situation and hate them. Should never be the case. But rather, we should grieve over their sin, love them enough to speak the truth to them, and then, of course, leave it up to them to make the decision as to how they're going to live their life. Are they going to proceed in the direction that might fit in with popular culture, popular viewpoints by many people, allow themselves to live according to how they want to live? That's a choice that everybody has to make. But God has revealed things in His Word that ought to sober the minds of anyone who comes to the realization that, yes, there is a God. There's evidence all around us that there is a God. The creation declares His existence. And He has revealed furthermore things about Himself and about what He expects of His creation. That's through the Bible. We know that in Romans chapter 1, among all the different passages we could go to, here's one in the New Testament that relates to this subject. And it speaks about God allowing people to choose the direction that they want to go into. Some have rejected God. And he says in verse 20 of that chapter, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." The world makes it impossible for people to be able to truly say, there's no evidence for a God. You can't say that. So he says, people are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Some in the past have worshiped the idols. Associated with idolatrous practices have been all kinds of sexual immorality. All kinds. Today, the creature that many worship is the one that they look at in the mirror. It's all about doing what I want to do, pleasing myself. Nobody, including God, is going to dictate how I'm going to live my life. But God does allow people to make that choice. But he says, continuing on here, "Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." And then verse 26, "For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." Very clearly, Paul points out that God has allowed people to make the choices that they have desired to make, including turning to the practices of homosexuality, that type of thing, that has been carried on for so long. We read about it in ancient times in the scriptures. We read about it in the book of Genesis with Sodom and Gomorrah and the punishment that came to them for their choice. God always warns, and through us He can warn people. It ought not to be a message filled with hate, but a message that tries to reach the heart of people. Some people can and will be changed. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Our hope is that people like this veteran who is from Blount County will come to understand the truth and have the kind of sorrow that leads to eternal salvation, the godly sorrow, that will help them to see that, yes, that kind of a practice is sinful, but that it can be repented of. One can change their ways, turn from it, and live for God and inherit eternal life. Or one can choose to reject the law of God. And there are consequences for that as well, very clearly set forth as we see here from these scriptures. It's always important for us to remember the love with which we must love all souls around us and the great responsibility that we have to take the message of salvation to people who are lost in sin. They're everywhere around us. And in all cases, people are just in great need, no matter what the sin is, of that saving message. The responsibility, of course, in the end, is theirs to accept or reject it. Hopefully tonight, we, as we reflect upon God's will in our own lives, we want to do what He commands. We want to submit to His will. If you're not a Christian, you know that there is a means that God has devised by which you can be cleansed of all your past sins. No matter what it is, God can and He will forgive it if we respond to Him according to His teaching. And He shows us in the Bible that only by the blood of Jesus Christ can any sin be forgiven. So how is it that the blood of Christ cleanses me from my sin? I have to believe in Him, that He's God's Son, repent of my sinful ways, and determine to live for God and walk in truth and righteousness. I have to acknowledge my faith, confess it, and be baptized. It's in the act of baptism, that burial in water, where one is changed, the blood of Christ is applied, we come out of the water, and God declares in His Word that we're new creatures at that point, living a new life, that we are then children of God and all past sins are completely washed away, forgotten by God. We will not hear judgment against us for those things because they've been forgotten. But we do have to live a faithful life and determine that we're not going to depart from Him, but we're going to cling to His Word. And if we need to return to Him tonight, you know that you can do that as well. If you need to come, won't you do so as we stand and as we sing?